Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. My name is Reagan Warfield. Today, we're spotlighting MPT and an amazing initiative that has seemed to evolve out of the current situation in the world, talking about their at-home learning. On the phone with us today, we've got Krista Respass, the Managing Director of Early Childhood Education Services in the Education Division of MPT, and Betsy Pasok, the Vice President of Education at MPT. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you all have developed this initiative for at-home learning. Tell us all about how it was created and what it is.
Sure. So education is absolutely at the core of MPT's mission, and for that matter, at the core of public media's mission. So we have so much wonderful content to be able to contribute between it's trusted, it's high quality, and as schools closed, we realized a number of different factors and a way that we could help support learning at home. One is we realized that there really is a digital divide in our state and in the country for that matter, and not all students and families have access to the internet. They might not have devices in their home, or there's certainly a new reality that's occurring in families right now. Families are, their homes have turned into workplaces, they've turned into schools, and they've turned, as well as being home. So the environment's really changed, and we wanted to help with the continuity of learning. And so what's going on in the homes, turning into home learning environments, and at sometimes this digital divide, the difficulty of maybe being able to get online to do distance learning, we wanted to be able to use our broadcast as well as online resources that we have available to help families and help with the and teachers with the continuity of learning. So we developed an at-home learning initiative, and it has three main components to it. There's a broadcast component where our main channel now has a grade level schedule of programs. It goes from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there is a grade band for pre-K 3, and then for middle grades 4 through 8, followed by high school in the afternoon. So there's programming for high school students. The programming includes PBS Kids programs, which Krista will be able to expand on and talk about early learning, as well as local programs that we produce ourselves that feature environmental science and natural history, as well as national programs that we can pull from the PBS programming archives, and like NOVA programs that deal with a lot with science and, for instance, perhaps space, programs about the planets, nature that focuses on animals, American experience that focuses on world history and prominent people in literature. It's so expansive across subjects areas. And regarding the on-air broadcast, we have also partnered with WETA and WHUT so that we can really super serve the region with this high-quality program. So they're also doing an educational program grid on their stations. But what we've been able to do by collaborating with them is make sure that across every day period, the programming's diversified. So whichever station you are able to tune into, you'll be able to find something in one of these grade bands, the pre-K 3, the middle grades, or grades 4 through 8.
I love this. I want to hear. First of all, I think you brought this all together fairly quickly. So, how was this? What kind of phone calls, Zoom meetings? What was the research into the library? How did you all really put this together?
Well, it definitely happened. We had to pivot very quickly. We wanted to respond as quickly as possible, and it was like turning a plane to get it all to happen. But fortunately, we had the capacity within our station and the commitment. We do have an education division that we do this work every day. But we also had we were able to use our network of public media and PBS stations across the country who are also doing similar at-home learning initiatives for their communities and states. So there's the PBS programs, so those are national programs. We were able to pull through our producers who really know the shows and the episodes, and they worked with us. We were able to pull the local programs. And then MPT's using, working with WGBH and helping to pull, there's a network called the World Network, and they're pulling together the programming for the afternoons.
This is impressive, and I didn't want to interrupt, but I think there was more about the online component.
Yes. So we have Connected Learning online as well. So if you go to mpt.org/education, it will lead you to all of these resources, and every program that airs from 7 to 5. Monday through Friday, we have listed a show description and digital resource connections to it. So they're grade-level connections that connect an online resource to the topic and the content of each program, as well as it could be a hands-on activity because, again, not everybody has the opportunity to be on a device. But there are connected online interactives as well as hands-on activities that a parent could do with their children at home. Another important piece that has been developed to supplement the program is, you know, how do you pull the learning out of those programs? So we develop viewing guides, which have before, during, and after strategies that teachers can use to supplement their instruction, or parents can use if they have a child watching one of the programs on MPT. So it could be questions to ask their children, or it could be an activity or even a writing prompt that you work around it. So they're best practices in how to use multimedia to really unpack the learning that's baked into every program that we air.
It's really multifaceted. And you don't necessarily need cable or satellite to access MPT, right?
No, it's an over-the-air broadcast. It's also streamed. So there's multiple ways that a person could access the programming. Even on a cell phone, you know, you can pick up the stream from mpt.org, or it's an over-the-air broadcast. So you do not have to have cable to access MPT. And that's why we felt it was really important to do this pivot and present this educational broadcast every single day so that we really can help with having equitable access to high-quality content.
Well, this is great. We have a 3-year-old daughter at home, and my wife, not knowing I was going to be talking to you, told me that she started DVRing Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood every morning at 7 a.m. for her to pick up some lessons. She only watches TV after she goes potty, but that's her reward now is to watch the Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood from MPT. With that, what how have you thought about? You mentioned that you have the pre-K in the early morning, and then you structure it throughout the day. So, what other kind of offerings do you have besides Daniel, of course?
Well, I can speak to what we're doing to really focus on early learners and young kids at home, you know, all the way from those little toddlers and your three-year-olds up into some of those early elementary grades. We really pull the learning from the PBS Kids programming that you talked about. And as we know from lots of parent feedback and data and research, PBS Kids really is kind of the most trusted and gold standard in early childhood learning media. So in addition to Daniel Tiger, you're going to find programs like Nature Cat, which is so perfect for right now because families are home with their kids and there are so many ways that you can get outside and learn in your own backyard and taking, you know, short walks in your neighborhood. So, you know, there's lots of great ideas and activities to give you to do with kids after watching a show like that. Wildcrafts, of course, is always wildly popular with young kids to learn more about different animals. And in fact, it often inspires kids to want to, you know, learn more about a certain animal. And so that's why it's really great, I think, to have those connected learning resources with the broadcast, because you can, you know, really build on that inspiration for learning right there. If there's a great episode about a sea turtle and that really sparks some curiosity in your youngster, then there's some great learning resources that you can do right there, you know, to learn more about sea turtles, for example. And, you know, as Betsy said, not all of those are online either. There's a lot of hands-on activities that you can do with no technology needed, which are just, you know, creative craft projects and things like that as well. So there's lots for the early learners. Daniel Tiger and his strategy songs, I know, are very important and very popular with a lot of families right now. I think he has a strategy song for just about every kind of routine that you would want to help your youngster move through, whether it's going potty in the morning or picking up their toys or, you know, just, you know, eating another bite of dinner at the dinner table. So
he's trying to help us eat our vegetables right now, so that's very helpful.
I was just gonna say that there's an episode where Daniel's trying new vegetables, and as an example, one of the learning activities we have is a recipe for grandparents' vegetable soup. So you and your daughter could make vegetable soup together, just like Daniel Tiger.
Oh, that's fun. That's sort of the kind of follow-up exercise that you were talking about that could further engage her. That's great.
Exactly.
Oh, good. And is there a way to look up, for instance, if we're looking for that specific episode, is there a way to find that? Can we look at the schedule to kind of plan our day or weeks ahead?
Sure. So we post the schedules. As Betsy said, if you go to mpt.org/education and look at our at-home learning resources, the schedule is up for 3 weeks. So if you go there today, you'll see this week's schedule, but you could also look ahead and see what's coming for next week so you can plan ahead. So if you did see an activity like that, making soup, for example, and you could plan to get those ingredients on your next grocery store run, or if there's certain craft materials you wanted to have, so you can plan ahead.
That's great. How long do you anticipate you'll be doing this type of schedule?
We are doing this. We are planning to do the broadcast and have all of the connected resources through the end of June, June 26th to be exact. And then we're looking forward to see the more we learn about what's going on this summer. We're looking to see how we can support a continuity of learning all the way through the summer.
I'm really curious, what kind of feedback have you gotten from the parents, from teachers, from all kinds of viewers?
Well, we've been reaching out to schools through our State Department of Education, both in K-12 and in early learning, and through social media and newsletters and on air. You know, we're using a multitude of ways to let people know that this is happening and that it's a resource for them. So we appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with your listeners. And the feedback that we have got is usually very appreciative. And they appreciate the way we're curating it as well, that there's various aspects of it, that it's freely available, and that it's very connected. So when you'll look through the various episodes, you'll see the resources are really connected nicely through themes, or we'll pull out a learning nugget and really make that viewing time active learning time. We don't want people to just sit necessarily in front of the television all the time. We want them to be active learners and engage with it, because that's really the way that it's best used for in a learning environment.
We'll talk about screen time in a second, but first I'm just thinking about how you are putting so much thought into curating this schedule. We've talked about many aspects of life. We've never seen such a situation that we're seeing right now in our lives. You all have backgrounds in education, but I'm sure have never applied even what you're doing at MPT in this manner to this extent, right?
Well, right. We create digital resources and multimedia for teaching and learning, and that is what we do. And we support teachers and their instruction and then their professional development, and we help childcare providers be able to understand how to use media in a learning setting and about media literacy skills, so everything that we do is now being applied in a different type of an environment, in an environment that's at home, and parents are, I think everybody's in the same place. You know, everyone's grappling with how to get through this, how to handle the stress of themselves, the stress of their children, how to work with the resources that the school is sending home. There's a lot going on. So we're just trying to be as supportive as possible and make it as seamless as possible for both schools to be able to use some of our learning resources and for parents. So we are appreciative of all the feedback that we do get, so that we can, you know, we can really serve our citizens of Maryland in the best way possible.
I mean, it must be a challenge, but also pretty exciting for you all to showcase the resources that you've put together for forever, but also haven't put them together quite in this way, because this is really thinking about it in a much more maybe long-term or more commonly used aspect than usual.
It really has. We've put together toolkits as well. There's a toolkit for teachers, and there's toolkits for parents, and we're really trying to be not just creators but curators of some really great content that's available. PBS has a website called PBS Learning Media that is incredible as far as collections of learning resources, but we're trying to curate it all into topics, into daily activities and things that parents and teachers can really just pick up and use any day of the week to supplement whatever topic it is that they're looking to support. And MPT has a website called ThinkPort. So ThinkPort's a great place to go to find all of the resources that we're talking about, as well as it's a gateway to PBS. So, and it is really exciting for us to be able to bring it to the forefront. And it's often one of these things that it's the best kept secret of MPT and of PBS. But now it's really at the forefront because of its need, and we're all really excited that people will be more aware of it so that they can integrate it more into their daily lives.
We're talking with Krista Respas and Betsy Pasok from MPT about their at-home learning ensemble initiatives that they've got going on. We mentioned screen time. Obviously, you've mentioned a lot of resources that don't require the screen, but what is your advice for screen time during this time?
Yeah, so I know it's, you know, I hear this from parents a lot that, oh, all my screen time rules have kind of gone out the window and trying to multitask and manage so many different things from home right now. And that is certainly understandable. But there's a few key points I think that are really important. Quality of screen time is really kind of front and center here. So, you know, really to be thoughtful about the kinds of programming that you're letting your kids choose or you're choosing for them is really important. Limits are still important. They may have doubled or tripled from what they were when we all had much, you know, busier schedules. But it's really important to still try to manage what's reasonable in you know, a sitting, right? So maybe your screen time is, you know, gone from 30 minutes a day to 3 hours a day, but it shouldn't be three consecutive hours a day, right? So it's really trying to balance it with those physical activities. And as we talked about, making that screen time active learning time. And there's a big difference between passive screen time, where we're all just kind of, you know, on the couch, zoned out in front of a screen, as opposed to really being engaged with what we're watching. And that's what we've tried to do with this at-home learning broadcast and the viewing guides, is really make that active learning really easy on parents, so they can grab that guide and. While it applies to the at-home learning broadcast, the questions that we provided on there are very general and can be used with any types of screen time, that you can present some questions, some critical thinking questions to your child before they start watching a program, for example, right? To pull on their prior knowledge about a topic. And then, you know, if you can engage with them during the show so they can kind of follow up on different concepts that they're hearing and apply them to how, you know, their own life or their community or the world around them. And then, you know, as the follow-up, to really find a way to apply it then, right? So, okay, so we've just learned about this, and now we're going to take it and we're going to do something with it. So it's really about that active viewing concept that I think is most important right now.
Well, the screen time and the amount is one disruptor to kids' lives, but also, I mean, thinking about social and emotional well-being of kids of whatever age, whether it's a three-year-old like my daughter or high school age kids, what are your thoughts and tips for dealing with their well-being in that regard?
Yeah. It really is a stressful time for kids and students and people of all ages. And I think, you know, we've heard a lot about the importance of routines, and that's really important for your kids and students of all ages. You know, no one's suggesting that parents necessarily set up a school schedule during the day. Maybe that does work for some families, and that is terrific, but others might need a far more relaxed kind of schedule, and that's okay too. I think what's most important is that you create a routine that's predictable, right? Especially with young children, if they have some expectations to know what's coming, it helps to reduce kind of stress overall and create sort of clear limits about the kinds of activities or the time that you're going to spend on specific activities. So I think, you know, start small if that's what you need and build on it. But really to, you know, have a very predictable routine that helps kids just know what to expect throughout their day.
That's great. Talking with our friends at MPT, how can listeners, again, get involved with the at-home learning initiative, the educational resources you've mentioned, and everything else?
They should go to mpt.org/education, and that will lead you to all of the resources that we've been talking about, and probably even more.
and even after all this is done, you're still going to be there with all kinds of great resources and programming for us as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we're also curating good articles and other materials that can help parents and teachers be able to not just do education, but figure out how to do distance learning in the time of COVID. Because it's like Krista said, life's not predictable right now, and it can be scary to kids. So it's just important for parents to and teachers to realize that we're all doing the best we can, and just have kids feel like there's some element of control in their life, and just realize that there is no failure. There's only trying.
Well said. Krista, Betsy, our friends from MPT, thank you so much for telling us all about your at-home learning initiative for the Maryland kids, the parents, the teachers, everyone out there. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.